on the air. This is your Hollywood radio reporter, bringing you Robert Taylor, Walter Pidson, and Paul Kelly, in a tribute to those undaunted young Americans who, having earned their wings, become the eyes of the Navy, the mighty air arm of Uncle Sam's fleet. Modern civilization usually thinks of aviation as an idea belonging entirely to this generation. Actually, the great airliner droning overhead is the realization of a dream as old as the human race. Thousands of years ago, men first expressed their aspirations to fly in their art, their religion, their literature. The legends of the ancient world are filled with winged deities, flying horses, flying carpets, and seven-league boots. Unable to conquer the skies himself, man attributed the mysterious power to his imaginary heroes, the immortals. To fly, men reasoned, is to be a god. As long ago as the 15th century, the Italian master, Leonardo da Vinci, put on paper the first plans for a flying apparatus. Wings that through bird-like manipulations were to lift a man into the heavens. Down through the centuries followed untold attempts and failures to unlock the mysteries of the air. Until, in 1903, two Americans, Orville and Wilbur Wright, conceived and built an unbelievable machine in which they soared over the bleak sand dunes of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. It was 5 years later that the United States Navy officially recognized the possibilities of military aviation. Soon afterward, the idea of an aircraft carrier was born. Of course, there were men in high places who scoffed and branded the idea a crazy dream. But by 1911, the crazy dream had become a practical reality when an airplane, for the first time, landed and took off from the deck of a battleship. Soon, the first base for the training of naval aviators was established at Pensacola, Florida, with six odd-looking planes and a handful of daredevil cadets who wanted to be pilots. Skilled mechanics were unavailable, so these adventurous airmen worked far into the night to make possible a short flight during the following day. Official funds were seldom obtainable, and the flyers frequently dug into their own pockets to keep the planes in repair. They've come a long way since then, those air-minded pioneers of the Navy. For today, Pensacola offers the most comprehensive basic air course in this country or any other. Amongst the cadets are all races and creeds from all sections of the country. Each one is an individual with a particular personality and with special abilities. The slam-bang mail-order school of instruction may be in force in other lands, but in your Navy, each man is, well, he answers to a name, not a number. He's a gentleman and an officer who has been taught to think for himself with all the confidence and courage responsible for the glorious traditions of the United States Navy. Perhaps you've wondered how he's doing, what he's doing. Then listen while we switch control to the little theater at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, where we are to hear Robert Taylor, with Walter Pidgeon and Paul Kelly, in a scene or two from their new motion picture, Flight Command. We hear Robert Taylor in the role of Alan Drake, a fledgling in the service. Walter Pidgeon plays Bill Gary, commander of Fighting Squadron 8, and Paul Kelly as Dusty Rhodes, executive officer on Bill Gary's staff. As our scene opens, Alan Drake, having completed training at Pensacola, is receiving his commission as a reserve officer in the United States Navy. A qualified pilot, he is given his first assignment with the fleet at San Diego, where his training will continue under actual operating conditions.
Alan Drake. Congratulations, Mr. Drake. You've done well, and you're getting a top assignment. Have you ever heard of Fighting Squadron 8?
The Hellcats?
Yes. But don't let that throw you. Remember, you're representing Pensacola. When we send a young man to the fleet, we're saying, here's a pilot for you. We've trained him and we vouch for him. He's ready for any service. The future assignments for a lot of young pilots will depend on how well you do with Fighting 8. You must measure up, Drake.
Thank you, sir. I'll give them all I've got.
Ensign Drake, good luck.
Thank you, sir.
North Island Tower from Navy 5429. Did you hear me? Please answer. North Island Tower, Navy 5429.
This man Drake tucked in. He's way overdue.
Thunderstorms and rain squalls in the mountain.
Drake must have caught that.
Yes, I'm afraid so. His radio couldn't get through that static. He's either down somewhere or lost.
North Island Tower calling Navy 5429. Can't raise him, sir.
Well, you gotta raise him. He can't land here.
North Island Tower.
There he is.
Navy 5429. Can you hear me? Answer.
North Island Tower calling Navy 5429. We've been sitting on tacks for an hour. What's your position?
That's what I'd like to know. North in the mountains. Been cruising through fog for a couple of hours trying to find a hole. My beam receiver isn't working. Haven't been able to pick up a directional beam. Gas running low. I have about 10 minutes left.
Fog's on the ground here. There's no field clear you can reach. Keep talking. We'll try and get a bearing on you. Get a bearing on Navy 5429.
Yes, sir. Bearing 85 true, sir.
North Island Tower calling Navy 5429. Come on in. Head west, true. We'll check on you. You're more than 40 miles away. You're sitting on a mountain.
North Island Tower from Navy 5429. I must be getting close, but I can't see anything. Can you hear my motor?
Drake, we hear you. You're approaching the field. I'll spot you where your plane won't crash anything. You'll have to bail out. Turn on the field lights.
What? Bail out? Crash this brand new plane? Which is what you dream about. Cruises at 350, dives at 600. I can't do that.
Forget it, Drake. You're over the field now. Fly west. Another minute.
I think I see the field lights. How do I sound? I'm coming in.
Stay up there. Circle the field. He's crazy. Thinks he can get down through this. Call out the ambulance. It's crash truck.
I've got the field spotted. I'm letting down.
He's too far east. He'll hit the control tower. Order him up out of there.
Come on, Drake. Come on.
Listen to that. His gas must be about done.
Drake, this is Squadron Commander Fighting 8. Don't try that again. Climb to 2,000 feet, fly due west 1 minute, and when I tell you, hit the silk. Winds from the west, you'll drift in over the field.
If you're lucky.
Drake, answer.
I'm at 2,000, flying due west.
You're set, Drake. Bail out.
The wind shifted. He's liable to land in Mexico.
All hands out. Have patrols cover all the seaward area of the station. Get the ambulance rolling. Be sure they have an inhalator.
Aye, aye, sir.
What was your idea up there? You heard the order to bail out, didn't you?
Yes, sir, but I thought I could bring her in.
How could you possibly bring her in? You couldn't see the field lights. You couldn't even see your wingtips.
You thought. Well, that's something.
Because in this outfit, you've got to think. Mostly fast, but first you've got to obey.
That, sir, I just didn't want to crash that plane, that's all.
It's not a matter of what you want or don't want. You had orders. The Navy can build a dozen planes for every good pilot we can find to fly them. You're no good to us dead. Does that make any impression?
Yes, sir. You've got the makings of a great pilot, Drake. The Navy can use you. There's a lot more to it. Loyalty, for one thing. And loyalty isn't a one-way street. It goes both ways, down as well as up. We fight like blazes for the skipper, and the skipper fights like blazes for the men. But we're all fighting for the same thing, the Navy. Which is, when the chips are down, America's front line.
You get discouraged sometimes, sure. You get cold and wet. So tired you have nothing to hang on with but your teeth. You wonder why in the devil you ever wanted wings. But as you're circling the carrier waiting for your turn to land, the
flagship hoists the signal, well done, fighting ape. Does something to you inside. Duty well done.
For a man, that's the best in the book. You find a room ready for you in BOQ. I've had some dry things laid out, a pair of pajamas and an outfit for tomorrow. Now, I suggest you hit your bunk early, because you're in for a tough week. We put you through it around here before you take your place in squadron formation.
Yes, sir, thank you. But I was wondering if I couldn't meet some of my new shipmates tonight. We've heard a lot about them at Pensacola.
Oh, I guess so. You'll probably find some of them in the officer's lounge. Good night, Drake.
Good night, sir.
Oh, Drake, if it'll make you sleep any better, there isn't a man in the fleet who could have landed that plane tonight.
Thank you, sir.
It will.
Good evening. My name's Drake. I was hoping I'd find some of you around. Sorry I messed things up getting in.
Hi, Pensacola. I'm Banning.
How are you, Banning?
This is Payne.
Payne, glad night.
Hi, Townsend.
Townsend.
And Bush.
Bush, glad night.
Hello, Drake.
Hi. Martin, you've met. And yes. Mr. Rhodes, our executive officer.
Dusty Rhodes?
All roads are dusty to a sailor. How are you?
Thanks.
And Woodward?
Hi, Woodward.
Glad night.
And the rest?
I know you.
Pensacola.
Hi, Pensacola.
Well, I guess I don't have to tell you how glad I am to be aboard.
Are you? Didn't seem so an hour ago.
Why?
That landing you tried. We thought you were tired of it all.
I think I could have let down through that soup.
Well, you could.
Let's hear it. What could you see up there?
See, Jerry. Maybe you were wasting your time with that fog device. Say, do you want to get anything in through fog? Just stick Pensacola in the cockpit. You'll get it down.
Yeah, a new kind of a robot. Only this one talks.
Wait a minute. After spotting the control tower, the next approach would have been a cinch.
A cinch? How come?
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, having spotted the tower, I swing around climbing until I'm on a reverse course, and I hold that for 1 minute. Then I change course 45 to the right and hold that for 10 seconds. I swing left until I'm on my original heading.
Yeah. And then what?
Well, then I'm heading back for the tower and clear of it, so I let down. Then pretty soon there's a clear spot in the fog, and I set down right in the middle of it. There's nothing to it.
Wait a minute. Where did the clear spot come from? Did you bring it with you?
Me? No. The warmth of the Hellcat's reception. It burned right through the fog.
Wait a minute. I'm confused. I thought we were doing the ripping.
Oh, Stitchy, did you walk into that one?
Did I? Looks like we bought something from Pensacola.
You're a born Hellcat, and we're going to hang on to you.
Sure. Come on,
you're a Hellcat.
Gentlemen, you have just heard the opening scenes of the motion picture, Flight Command. Thank you, Robert Taylor, Walter Pigeon, Paul Kelly, and all the rest of you. And Bob, don't try bringing one down through the fog again. If that's the way Flight Command opens, I'm wondering what happens when the story really gets going. Battle maneuvers, dive bombing, aircraft carrier operations at sea. It must be a thrill. Flight Command is the motion picture of peacetime aviation, produced with the gratefully acknowledged cooperation of the United States Navy and dedicated to those gallant young flyers of Uncle Sam's fleet. There's something to be proud of in these days. This is your Hollywood radio reporter saying thank you for listening.